88 and UW-Milwaukee 45. All of us at the Badger Sports Network thank each of you for listening. This has been Wisconsin Basketball from Learfield.
Wisconsin women's basketball has been brought to you by Alliant Energy. Alliant Energy is powering beyond for you. And by UW Health Sports Medicine, treating the Badgers, treating you. The preceding has been a Learfield presentation of the Badger Sports Network.
For Civic Media News, I'm Savannah Tomei Olson. More people across the country are driving electric vehicles, but Wisconsin lags behind. EVs only make up about 1% of all cars on our roads. Here's Judith Ruiz Branch.
Misconceptions about cost, maintenance, and performance are top of mind for hesitant buyers. But in Wisconsin, where about 30% of the state's population is rural, accessibility is one of the biggest concerns. Jeremiah Brockman with the Wisconsin Electric Vehicle Association thinks it's only partly because rural areas in general are slower to catch on to some trends. He says some areas still don't have enough charging stations.
Part of the problem, too, is you have more farmland in rural areas. And if you spend the entire day out on a farm and you're driving around your, you know, many acres of land, you worry about where you're going to charge your vehicle at that point. And I think that's another hurdle.
Compared to neighboring states, Wisconsin has significantly fewer charging stations. In an effort to help bolster the state's EV infrastructure, Wisconsin passed a law earlier this year to install a network of 65 fast charging stations statewide. The plan is to install them every 50 miles along the interstate system and major highways through next year. Even though the law was Republican-authored in Wisconsin, Brockman says he believes the political divide is another factor in EV ownership hesitation.
Honestly, you know, this is part of a larger national conversation where electric vehicles are kind of being politicized. And, you know, I like to say the benefits are there. It doesn't matter who you voted for last Tuesday. The benefits are there no matter what.
Those benefits include lower fuel and maintenance costs, lower emissions, and potential tax breaks. For Public News Service, I'm Judith Ruiz Branch. Find our trust indicators at publicnewsservice.org.
And this is Civic Media News. I'm Savannah Tomei Olson. For Civic Media News, I'm Savannah Tomei Olson. More people across the country are driving electric vehicles, but Wisconsin lags behind. EVs only make up about 1% of all cars on our roads. Here's Judith Ruiz Branch.
Misconceptions about cost, maintenance, and performance are top of mind for hesitant buyers. But in Wisconsin, where about 30% of the state's population is rural, accessibility is one of the biggest concerns. Jeremiah Brockman with the Wisconsin Electric Vehicle Association thinks it's only partly because rural areas in general are slower to catch on to some trends. He says some areas still don't have enough charging stations.
Part of the problem, too, is you have more farmland in rural areas. And if you spend the entire day out on a farm and you're driving around your, you know, many acres of land, you worry about where you're going to charge your vehicle at that point. And I think that's another hurdle.
Compared to neighboring states, Wisconsin has significantly fewer charging stations. In an effort to help bolster the state's EV infrastructure, Wisconsin passed a law earlier this year to install a network of 65 fast charging stations statewide. The plan is to install them every 50 miles along the interstate system and major highways through next year. Even though the law was Republican-authored in Wisconsin, Brockman says he believes the political divide is another factor in EV ownership hesitation.
Honestly, you know, this is part of a larger national conversation where electric vehicles are kind of being politicized. And, you know, I like to say the benefits are there. It doesn't matter who you voted for last Tuesday. The benefits are there no matter what.
Those benefits include lower fuel and maintenance costs, lower emissions, and potential tax breaks. For Public News Service, I'm Judith Ruiz Branch. Find our trust indicators at publicnewsservice.org.
And this is Civic Media News. I'm Savannah Tomei Olson.
Doctors Without Borders is delivering life-saving medical care where it's needed most in communities around the world. From bandaging war-wounded patients in Sudan.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. Gradual clearing for today. Gusty west winds at highs in the lower 50s. Tonight's skies mostly clear. Lows in the upper 20s. On Monday, we'll see a mix of clouds and sunshine. Highs in the lower 50s as rain moves in the afternoon and evening. It's 53 at our studios.
Pat Kreitlow. On Monday's show, Pat Kreitlow makes his triumphant return back to Up North News Radio. We talk about his vacation and what happened in the news this weekend. Join us.
Up North News with Pat Kreitlow. Weekday mornings starting at 6.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR, home for Up North News Radio.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
From the rolling bluffs of the Driftless region to the pristine shorelines of Superior in Michigan, from the Northwoods to the Kettle Moraine, Civic Media broadcasts across all of Wisconsin.
For all of Wisconsin.
Take a trip with us across the radio network to hear from communities throughout the state. This is the Civic Media Spotlight.
Kicking off this week's Spotlight, we'll hear from Matt Nair on air. And this week, Jane and Greg welcomed in Jim Santel, host of Amicus, a Law Review, to speak about the people Donald Trump has been nominating for cabinet positions, and in particular, Florida Congressman Matt Gaetz.
Good morning and welcome to Matt Nair on Air, Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, and Calvin Butenhoff, coming to you live from our studio at Radio Park here in Racine. You can always join us, call or text. The number is the same. 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and the platform that used to be Twitter. Coming up at 11:33, we'll talk all things sports with Journal Sentinel sports guru J.R. Radcliffe. And we will wrap up the show as we do every day now with This Shouldn't Be a Thing, the Cindy Lou Who edition. If you ever have a thing which should not be, send it in to Greg and me at janesays@civicmedia.us, J-A-N-E-S-A-Y-S. Jane says at civicmedia.us. Delighted to have him joining us here in studio. He is the host of Amicus, a Law Review across Civic Media on Saturdays from 9 until 11. Former U.S. attorney and actual attorney, Jim Santel is here. Good morning, Jim. How are you?
Jane, delighted to be with you and Greg once again. Sometimes I wonder if I'm a real attorney, but I think most days at least I play one out there somewhere. Glad to be with you. Delighted, honored.
Appreciate it. You can provide some much-needed perspective, I think, with some of the cabinet appointees that are being tossed around by Donald Trump. And we were talking last half hour about Matt Gaetz.
Matt Gaetz. Talk about things that shouldn't be a thing, right?
I had someone suggest that we should do Matt Gaetz should not be a thing for the rest
exactly,
of the week.
Exactly. We talk a lot about speaking these days in hyperbole, and yet that's appropriate, right? It may well be that this nomination, let me step back and say, from my perspective, it's not hyperbole to say that this nomination is the worst one in all of Department of Justice history. To the Department of Justice, the Attorney General, the Chief Federal Law Enforcement Officer for the United States of America, and if things go as Donald Trump wants them to go, we'll see. We'll talk about recess appointments, I suspect. But if things go as he hopes they will go, this man will be in charge of the United States Department of Justice in areas of antitrust, tax, environment, civil rights, national security, all those kinds of things that invade and are part of our lives on a regular basis. He will be in charge of that. This man himself, of course, the subject until very recently, as all of your listeners know, of an FBI investigation, of a Department of Justice investigation, whether he was engaged in human trafficking involving a 17-year-old girl. And the case did not result in an indictment against him, principally because the witness herself was not a compelling witness. Not that this did not happen, but just because the case could not be put together beyond a reasonable doubt for a jury. And we now have Matt Gaetz arguably entering ninth and constitution as our chief federal law enforcement officer. It is beyond words. And I don't know what the future will bring for the department, but I think both people inside and outside the department should be much, much afraid.
Well, and just remember that President Biden was accused of weaponizing the Justice Department. He allowed the Justice Department to prosecute his son.
Absolutely. And has said more recently, Jane, as you've also, and Greg, we've also talked on this very broadcast, when asked, are you going to pardon, are you going to exercise the authority that you've got, Mr. President, under the Constitution and pardon your son? And he said, no. There was no more explanation. I'm not doing that. We've got a president, again, in cahoots, presumably with an attorney general here, who would not only pardon anybody, will pardon about 1,200 people who assaulted our Capitol, attempted to undermine our elective process here. And again, Matt Gaetz, to go back to your commentary about what Donald Trump promised retribution.
Yes.
This is the face of retribution, and it comes from his own personal experience. He will say, I was a victim. I was a victim of the weaponization of the Department of Justice because this investigation was pursued against me, and now it's payback time. Matt Gaetz is the embodiment of Donald Trump's promise for retribution, and he can do it at the Department of Justice.
You know, something I was thinking about were all those individuals who are in prison, too. Prison reshapes your mind. They're going to be going through some stuff, and regardless of what they have done, if they walk into prison tomorrow, just because, not for storming the Capitol, but for some of the crime, they're going to come out more emboldened, more fervor, more vigor. They're going to have T-shirts and sweatshirts. I mean, they're going to celebrate this. They're going to be seen as heroes. They're going to be called patriots because that's what the president-elect has called them. And something I wanted to bring up, what you both just mentioned, was recess appointments. If I'm not mistaken, Jim, you mentioned that the Supreme Court has said in the past you shouldn't do these.
Right.
But now we're faced with a Supreme Court that's a 6-3 majority in favor of Donald Trump, not the GOP. Right. Donald Trump,
and not the Constitution either.
Right. Exactly. Decided to amend the Constitution and say, you know what? Turns out that presidents, maybe for 238 years, but at least for the last 6 months, have immunities across the board. Mm-hmm. You can commit crimes in office. And there's nothing that anybody can do about it. That's the Supreme Court that would, again, be very much inclined. You're absolutely right, Greg. Frankly, during the Obama administration, Steve Breyer wrote an opinion and said, you know what? We don't like this idea of recess appointments. It had to do with whether or not the Senate could gavel in and gavel out to prevent the president from doing that. Prior to that, frankly, the presidents had routinely done this. George W. Bush did it, and Bill Clinton did it, and Barack Obama did it. Supreme Court said, we don't like this practice. And you know what? Donald Trump didn't do it, and Joe Biden didn't do it because the Supreme Court had said no. Now, Donald Trump has said, recess appointments, Senate, you go away for a couple of weeks, and I'm going to get all these people in place. The way that this works, of course, for the Constitution, it's not indefinite, but it's for the rest of the term of the Congress until the end of the second session of the 119th Congress coming in, which basically means about 2 years. And that's enough time to do a lot of damage in all sorts of agencies, including justice, but also State Department, Labor Department, all of them out there, agriculture, you name them, commerce and so forth. And that's what he's planning to do. But it's a combination that is just nearly unbelievable, but the fact that it is true.
Well, and that just goes to show that it's going to heavily gut those departments, if not shut them down. I mean, see people on Twitter all the time saying any department with three letters gets shut down. I'm like, do you know what any of these departments do? You don't. Of course you don't. In fact, if I said, what does CIA mean? You probably don't know what that acronym is for. But this is just all walking it towards the ultimate goal of Project 2025. I mentioned in the previous hour that we had gotten a lot of pushback from individuals saying you're overreacting, hyperbole.
This isn't going to happen.
I don't know anything about this. What are you even talking? My friends don't know anything about this. What are you even talking about? It took less than a week for Project 2025 to take hold and to start. And that began with the appointment of these ridiculous human beings with little to no experience to important positions of power that have a global ripple.
Absolutely. This is massive. This would be massive. I just want to reintroduce you. Jim Santel is our guest. He's a former U.S. attorney and also our colleague here at Civic Media. Catch his show every Saturday from 9 to 11, Amicus, a law review. And if you ever have questions, Jim is a brilliant lawyer.
So we'll always bring snacks.
I do bring snacks.
He brings great snacks.
Right.
We're talking about Matt Gaetz being presented as the potential head of the attorney general.
It's almost difficult to say loud, isn't it, Shane? Right. It is for me. It is for me. Right.
I am seeing a little bit of pushback this morning from some Republican senators.
Right.
John Cornyn, which I did not expect. He's like, we want this ethics committee report to be released.
Right.
And because Gaetz resigned from Congress yesterday, that kind of has killed the investigation.
It has, exactly. And please tell me, America, in history, that the incoming president of the United States of America did not appoint or plan to appoint an attorney general to get him out from under an ethics investigation. That's not the reason we're doing this. Please tell me that that's the case. But boy, the timing sure looks like that, doesn't it?
Oh, absolutely.
Right? And beyond it, to your good point, both of you making this point, I'm not expecting that everybody understands and appreciates the structure of the Department of Justice. I can recite it because I worked there for 30 years and it's wonky and it's kind of down the rabbit hole and it's the kind of thing that people roll their eyes at when I begin to talk about it. But the reality is there does need to be some appreciation fundamentally for, number one, what a president does. Very concerned about whether or not half the population really appreciates that, right, Greg and Jane?
Yeah.
Secondarily, as we think about Matt Gaetz, what does an attorney general do? How many people in America can talk about that intelligently? I can tell you a lot of what he or she does. I worked for Janet Reno directly. I worked under Eric Holder. And they have tremendous responsibilities for defining who we are in America in all those areas. Again, civil rights, the environment, even things like tax and corporate areas, all kinds of things, national security and how we investigate cases, the number of agencies. The FBI is an agency inside the Department of Justice, as is the DEA and ATF, all these agencies out there that investigate all of those, supervised and directed by, ultimately, the Attorney General. That's no small power. And I wonder out loud if Americans appreciate the catastrophe that this could be if this man is put in charge of that.
And the potential corruption.
Yes.
The potential corruption is so massive, it's almost hard to wrap your brain around.
Well, and exactly. This is the attorney general. The president is also going to appoint a deputy attorney general, an associate attorney general, and about 15 different assistant attorneys general. And yes, indeed, my successor, a few removed, 92, 93 United States attorneys around the country. Will you find people who are loyalists who will take those positions? Regrettably, you will. They'll take the oath of office to affirm the Constitution.
Right.
But they'll also be asked during the course of their interviews, how loyal are you to the plans that Donald Trump has? If that's okay, we will get your nomination up to the Senate, or maybe not. Maybe we'll do it on recess.
Yeah.
But even if we do, we've got a Senate that will now confirm virtually anybody. Maybe this is a bridge too far. Maybe Matt Gaetz is a bridge too far.
Well,
but others probably not.
Yeah, definitely. And let's not forget that, at least though, the word is that the reason that Kevin McCarthy was ousted as speaker is because he knew this ethics investigation was going on into Gaetz and he wouldn't stop it.
Yes, right.
And therefore, Gaetz retaliated and got rid of Kevin
McCarthy.
Talk
about retribution, right?
Exactly.
There's the R word once again, Jane.
Exactly. We're going to break. We'll be right back. We are talking with Jim Santel, host of Amicus, a law review. Stay close. You are listening to Matt Nair on Air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Matt Nair on Air is part of the Civic Media Radio Network and airs across the network weekday mornings from 10 till noon. To learn more about this show and all of the Civic Media programming, check out the website at civicmedia.us/shows.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR, Rapids' home of Nightlight with Peach Schwabba.
What I know about courage, I learned from my adoptive mom. She said sometimes you just gotta hold on and know we'll get through this.
Mom, we are so high up. Hold my hand.
No, you hold my hand.
Here we go.
Learn about adopting a teen from foster care. You can't imagine the reward. Visit AdoptUSKids.org to find out more. This message is brought to you by AdoptUSKids, the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, and the Ad Council.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram. This is Locally Grown Radio.
WFHR 1320 AM, W248DE Wisconsin Rapids,
and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
For Civic Media News, I'm Savannah Tomei Olson. More people across the country are driving electric vehicles, but Wisconsin lags behind. EVs only make up about 1% of all cars on our roads. Here's Judith Ruiz Branch.
Misconceptions about cost, maintenance, and performance are top of mind for hesitant buyers. But in Wisconsin, where about 30% of the state's population is rural, accessibility is one of the biggest concerns. Jeremiah Brockman with the Wisconsin Electric Vehicle Association thinks it's only partly because rural areas in general are slower to catch on to some trends. He says some areas still don't have enough charging stations.
Part of the problem, too, is you have more farmland in rural areas. And if you spend the entire day out on a farm and you're driving around your, you know, many acres of land, you worry about where you're going to charge your vehicle at that point. And I think that's another hurdle.
Compared to neighboring states, Wisconsin has significantly fewer charging stations. In an effort to help bolster the state's EV infrastructure, Wisconsin passed a law earlier this year to install a network of 65 fast charging stations statewide. The plan is to install them every 50 miles along the interstate system and major highways through next year. Even though the law was Republican-authored in Wisconsin, Brockman says he believes the political divide is another factor in EV ownership hesitation.
Honestly, you know, this is part of a larger national conversation where electric vehicles are kind of being politicized. And, you know, I like to say the benefits are there. It doesn't matter who you voted for last Tuesday. The benefits are there no matter what.
Those benefits include lower fuel and maintenance costs, lower emissions, and potential tax breaks. For Public News Service, I'm Judith Ruiz Branch. Find our trust indicators at publicnewsservice.org.
And this is Civic Media News. I'm Savannah Tomei Olson.
97.5 FM WFHR would like to sincerely thank all of the sponsors who have helped keep Pet of the Week on air for all the animals at the Southwood County Humane Society. Thanks to this program, the shelter receives help, the community stays informed, and animals find their forever homes. If you would like to help and be a sponsor of the show, please call 715-496-0710. From everyone at WFHR, thank you for being a part of this great show, Thursdays at 9 a.m.
Join us on Tuesdays for Community Stories and Thursdays for Community Stories Junior, both from 5 to 6 p.m. right here on WFHR. Your host, Melissa Kay, brings together folks of all ages from our community. With history from our elders to innovations from our young people, Community Stories brings in-depth local stories you won't hear anywhere else right here on WFHR. Tuesday and Thursday afternoons from 5 to 6.
Central Wisconsin weather. I'm Corey Hartman. For tonight, clear skies, lows around 30. Chance of showers for Monday, a high near 53. Showers and windy for Monday night, a low of 43. Breezy on Tuesday with rain, a high of 57. For Wednesday, some rain and snow showers possible, 40.
Currently, 53 degrees.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Listening to Raised in Wisco.
Oh man, Danielle,
what
take us
that?
Into the show.
Who is that person
take
talking
us into
right
the
now?
Show.
Welcome to Raised in Wisco. It is Danielle, your clear voice host over here, Danielle Fairman, alongside no voice Joel Clayfish with Mike Kretschmer and Fun Finley in the corner. We're
Fun
very
Finley,
excited about this.
Mike Kretschmer's daughter's joining us. I'm going to be speaking a little more quietly during this show because what happens in the last 3 weeks, I've traveled to and from four different states, four different countries on 8 to 10 airplanes, 10 to 15 trains.
Oh, jeez.
And innumerable amounts
planes,
of automobiles,
trains, automobiles
on very little sleep and jet lag. And so I got back last week, and lo and behold, I was under the weather for the first couple of days. Now, I'm in that scenario that so many people find themselves in where you feel great, but your voice is the last thing to catch up. So I do have the ability to speak like this, which is
Batman.
I am Batman. We got producer Jess in the cubicle helping us out today. And it's driving me a little nuts because I don't have the regular power of my voice. And we have so much awesomeness to talk about today.
I hear you and I see you. They're just not matching up.
It's glitching.
This is weird.
It's glitching. So,
it's kind of funny, actually.
Is it? It just doesn't sound like what it does.
You're like so enthusiastic and animated, but your voice is not.
It's a shell of what it once was.
The last time I lost my voice was when I was working at a haunted house and I was scaring the daylights out of people. Like, it was an accomplishment when I would get like punched or pushed or just slapped. Just I'm like, yelling. Yes, I scared you so bad. Ha ha. But then like 3 days later, zero, no voice, not happening.
I did that for season two, Danielle.
What did you play,
producer Jess? What did you play in the haunted house?
Oh, I was a very spooky ghost in a graveyard, but I also posed riddles.
Ooh. Did you also have that like indistinguishable European accent that you just showed us there for a second?
What was that?
Was that like Lithuanian?
I don't know. That's just my inner voice. It's just sounds like.
I had.
Oh, yeah. I was a librarian.
A librarian?
Oh, yeah.
A librarian?
But it was the wonderful.
Like a dead librarian?
Oh, yes. It was the zombie librarian, but it was the airbrush. So it was the easiest thing possible. You just do a white base with the airbrush and then you squint really hard. And do pucker lips, and then you just do a couple sprays of black, and
It settles in the lines you're making.
I got told by our makeup artist I was a waste of white paint because...
So you're really tan.
Porcelain skin is nothing to be ashamed of, okay? Both of my children are blessed with porcelain skin. So that's it. If you need a little less clown white, you're fine. Yeah. I can't even laugh right. It's so. Could you imagine in a lab? Be like in a haunted house.
That's me burping.
I'd be better off like. The child is mine.
That's a little better.
That's better. Right. That's kind
of
creepy.
You know, you kind of sound like RFK Jr. a little bit. I watched a couple of videos.
Yeah,
he's got that raspy.
He's got a raspy voice. Yeah. No, that line that I just gave was a line from The Exorcist. Like she turns her head and says. The child is mine.
It
still raises the hair on my arms.
I don't like scary movies, so I don't watch that stuff.
That's the scariest one ever made, in my opinion.
Oh, The Exorcist is terrifying.
Because any of those movies that could actually be real, they freak me out, bro.
Yeah.
Hollywood
or The Ring. The Ring got me really good, too.
Hollywood.
I was also The Ring for Halloween, that chick.
Why? You see some of this stuff, you're like, why? Who comes up with that stuff? Switch the channel.
Yeah. So anyway, Raised in Wisco, your show about topical events that have to do with frightening people. I want to get into our weekly Wiscos because my last week was so intense and insane and awesome. I can't
Plane,
even put
trains,
it into words.
And automobiles.
First of all, we broadcast last week. I was in Spain for the broadcast. It was like 3 a.m. I was up and did the broadcast there and was going Bassetti ibex hunting and hadn't gone hunting Bassetti ibex hunting yet. Since that time, I hunted a Bassetti ibex in the mountains. I came home, hunted turkeys, hunted geese, and hunted deer here in Wisconsin. So I literally flew 9 hours away to hunt one animal, came back and hunted four five different animals in the following 3 days after that. I mean, how only in Wisconsin, right?
Right.
That's where
the voice went to.
There was no getting out of that whole thing alive with my voice. I'm just telling you. I'm going to take you through this hunt real quick in Spain. We're out in the mountains. We're 7,000 feet above sea level. So the air's getting a little thin. It's tough, you know, there was one point at which I wanted to show, like, I took a video of like how tough the terrain was. The video rolled for 7 seconds and I fell.
Oh no.
With the phone in my hand so you can see me fall.
Oh no.
And I'm like, well, that didn't take long. But
Were you walking? Like, what was the brush like? What was it like?
It was all real rocky because you kind of go above the tree lines to find these ibex. And if you don't know what a Bassetti ibex is, B-E-C-E-I-T-E, ibex, look it up. They're the coolest, craziest looking animals. And you go through the mountains and you use binoculars to find them on the mountaintops, coming out of little crevices or standing on top of a rock at the top of a mountain. And all of a sudden, we're really struggling. It was pouring rain on and off. Ooh. It was cold. And it was just a real tough hunt. And all of a sudden, we get a call from one of the guys who's scouting. He's like, I think I see an ibex on the mountain across from the mountain we're on.
Oh, no.
Perfect.
Perfect. So
bring
we
the
go,
plane over.
And
got
I'm going
to
try to describe this in a way that it makes sense. We go over there, and it looks, you know how a fork has like four or five tines on it, right? On the top.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
So it looked like there was a two-tined fork sticking above a bush. It was an ibex, like lying down.
Oh, geez.
Behind a bush, and it was 370 yards away across to the other mountain. And so we get ourselves in. So I'm afraid of heights. So
you're
I'm
not
already,
really.
Well, I don't love them. So I'm already a little janky on the edge of this mountain, and I'm looking across, and the guide who speaks pretty much only Spanish. So my Spanish really improved while I was there.
That's good.
But still not perfect. He's telling me in Spanish to come by him to lie down on the ground and set up, you know, the shot. And he's standing on the edge of a mountain, like on a cliff, on a rock. And there's a rock that's about 5 feet long. And he's like, lie down here. And it's a cliff.
Oh, man.
Literally a cliff. And I don't love heights. He's like, no, this is the shot here. And I'm like, here. And I'm standing back. He's like, no, here. So I weasel my way up and I'm like, I got my back against a rock. And he's like, lie down on the rock.
You're like, oh boy.
And he puts the backpack on the edge of the cliff. And he's like, rest your gun here.
So you have to get even closer to the edge.
Yes, I had to be, my hand was like on the stock of the gun over the edge of the cliff. And my legs are twisted in some kind of upside down pretzel behind me into a pine tree. I mean, I looked like I had all sorts of measles when it was over because all the pine needles were sticking in my legs because I didn't want to be hanging over the ledge. And he's like, now watch that ibex so I could see the forks of the tines of the fork moving back and forth. And I could see a little hole, which was his neck. And so all of a sudden they're like, we'll try to get it to stand up. And I'm thinking, yeah, please get it to stand up. I'm already at 375 yards. This thing's a little, you know, a thumbprint in the mm-hmm. scope. And so they start making these noises.
Oh, yeah.
Were you giggling?
Like in Spanish. I mean, I don't know. You can't really make noises in Spanish, but they're like, yeep. Like thinking, yeep, this thing's going to stand up. It doesn't stand up. So
people yipping in the background.
This guy lights a cigarette and he's smoking a cigarette and then he gets the dog to bark. So now the dog's barking violently and they're yelling like, yeep, yeep, yeep. The thing does not stand up and it starts pouring and lightning
on top
us,
of it.
Oh
on
my
top
goodness. Of the mountain. So that sound is not traveling anywhere.
Oh no,
much.
This had to hear us, but this thing was like hunkered down. He's like, I need you. He's like, I need
Start
you to
yipping.
Be a really, really good shot.
Yeah.
Like a 9 out of 10.
Oh.
And I'm like, I'll right. try. So
400
I
yards almost.
Concentrated, squeezed the trigger and shot in the little 5-inch gap, put a perfectly ethical clean kill, dropped it on the spot.
Nice. Good
it
for you.
It was
That's
so
awesome.
Exciting. I cannot even tell you how awesome it was.
It'd be hilarious
and
to hear
them. We celebrated, and they all drank shots of like Spanish rum, and I had like Coke Zero, because that's like what they have everywhere in Europe.
Oh, really?
Coke Zero. And they also drink non-alcoholic Radlers, which are non-alcoholic beer and Diet 7-Up, which I love.
You love Radlers.
I love Radlers. So I had a Radler, and we staged in the ruins of this cottage that was built in the 1300s.
Really?
It was so incredible.
You always find those perfect places to stay.
Gosh, it was incredible. 1300, someone had built this 1,000 years ago, and we're staging there on our hunt.
Wow.
You know? And it was such an incredible time. So that, yeah. And you guys, you're not going to believe it. We have an interview with Salva Monforte, which we're going to have in this show.
It's awesome. Going to play.
He, this kid didn't think he was great at speaking English, and he was awesome, and he did such a great job. You're going to love that. We got more stories. Wisconsin Weekly Wisco is coming up. You're listening to Danielle saying I can't
Raised
talk.
In Wisco.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR.
It's the sound of a soda, considered one of the coolest things made in Wisconsin. Jolly Good has been around since the 1960s. Cryer Foods makes it in Random Lake, which is in Sheboygan County. But Cryer started as a canning company in 1913. What was being canned there? Sauerkraut, peas, beets? The answer coming up.
At Jolly Good, we believe in quality.
Soda turned into an important revenue stream when production at the canning company slowed in the colder months. So what was being canned there? Sauerkraut, peas, beets? All three, plus juice, soups, and more. By the 1960s, Cryer quit canning and went all in on Jolly Good soda.
For flavor and value, Jolly Good's got it.
The latest resurgence of Jolly Good makes it a slice of Wisconsin for yesterday and today. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
We are the boy band.
Your tween made you see.
We are the boy
band. It's painful concert number three.
We are the boy band. We're 5 and 19. We are the boy band. Always singing on key.
You love your kids enough to take them to see their favorite band. Love them enough to make sure they're buckled up in the back seat. Show them you love them. Keep them safe. Visit nhtsa.gov/the right seat. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
Hey there, it's Carrie Joy with your Work Money Minute and an answer to the question, how often should I take my car in to get it serviced? As somebody who's worked on cars and knows a little bit about them, I admit that my instincts here are 100% wrong. I always want to say, oh, I'll just know when it's time. I'll feel it. But that's pretty hard to make a plan or a budget around. And my husband has made an honest car owner out of me by scheduling our maintenance on the calendar according to the book that everybody has and nobody reads, the manual in your glove compartment. Yep, even the motorheads over at CarTalk.com, remember that old Car Talk radio show that was one of my favorites, you know, with Click and Clack, the Tappet Brothers? They say that taking your car in on the schedule dictated by the people who made it is the best way to keep it in shape. So grab that manual, and if you want more tips on saving, head over to workmoney.org. Till next time, I'm Carrie Joy saying take good care.
This is locally grown radio, WFHR.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Raised in Wisco. Look at my voice is getting better as the show progresses. It's Ricky Martin. It's Spanish Adventures. I don't know what it is, but man, what? So
this music does get you hyped, doesn't it?
That story. I mean, hanging on the edge of the cliff, taking a shot, and if I'm telling you what, if you miss anything about Raised in Wisco or an episode of Raised in Wisco, don't fear. You can listen to all of our old episodes at civicmedia.us and then go to shows and go to Raised in Wisco, and you can listen on Spotify and Apple Podcasts just by searching Raised in Wisco, R-A-I-S-E-D in W-I-S-C-O.
Oh.
Yeah, that was such an incredible trip. It was probably the most exciting shot I've ever taken at Wild Game. And we're going to talk to Salvamon Forte coming up. He was the son of the owner of the outfitter, and he was along on our hunt step by step as we hung off the edge of the cliff.
So, yeah, the video that you, sorry, didn't mean to interrupt you, Mike. The video that you showed us during break was exactly that, but it was more picturesque in picture as you were showing us the video, because you were above the treetops overlooking everything, but everything looks like a black blob out there. I don't know how you can decipher what
you can't
see
anything
and a rock.
Unless
like,
you're in
so far.
A 20, you know, a 20 power scope, basically
that far. Yeah.
And then when you do zoom in, even if it's perfectly still, it's bouncing around
right
in the scope.
Oh yeah. You got to make sure you're exhaling and going through the motion. That's far. I've never shot anything that far.
But also the Zen moment of that, where I just spit everywhere. Where the Zen moment of that, where it goes right to my mind and you hear the raindrops drop on dropping on everything.
Yeah.
And then you, for me, sitting on that cliff would be great. I would love to do that. I do that when I go hiking
incredible.
And everything, but with you not liking heights.
You know what? Part of hunting and part of the cool thing about Raised in Wisco and what we talk to you about and what we love to share with you and encourage you to do is to step out of that comfort zone once in a while. One of the beauties of being in nature and experiencing Wisconsin is stepping out of your comfort zone a little, because the second you do, you're going to experience something new and you're going to want more of that. And it was so incredible. And I'm really excited. We're going to talk about two cooking segments. We're going to talk about the group of folks we had over for dinner on Saturday. Oh, Danielle,
yes.
You were there. We had a wild game feast at our house. Kretschmer, you didn't show up. Thanks
a
lot.
In North Dakota.
Hey, yeah. North Dakota. I'm excited to hear about that.
But that essentially, the Spain trip was incredible. Harvested a beautiful, amazing Bassetti Ibex. We'll put the pictures up for you. But I'm really excited. It was so funny because I asked them, I'm like, I'm going to cook Bassetti Ibex. And they're like, oh.
What?
And
no.
I'm like, what do you mean? They're like, oh, it's disgusting. Then they said, it tastes like, and it's a word that starts with SH and ends with T. And I said, whoa, wait a minute. What do you do with the meat? They make dog food out of it.
What?
Now, it's not wasting the meat. Dogs have to eat.
No, it is not wasting it. I love dogs. You know this.
Dog food. I am going to make something out of Bassetti Ibex that you will like. And they were all like, no, it's crap. We're not eating it. No,
well, you, Joel Clayfish, are the one to make anything taste good. So.
Well, right. I take that as a compliment. I think people think that I'm better at it than I am because I fake it and I make it very simply. But
fake it till you make it.
I'm going to tell you. So I said, okay, what do you want me to make? Tell me a type of food. And we're in Spain.
Right.
We're in Spain. And they look at me and they both, like Salva and the other guy who was there, Dragos. Dragos was from the Ukraine, but he was in there as a guide in Spain. So he spoke Spanish. I don't know. It's several different languages. I said, what should we make? And they both looked at me and said, can you make Mexican? So I'm in Spain. I said, I can. I'll make enchiladas. So we had Mexican food in Spain out of the Spanish Ibex.
That you made.
Very weird that I made. But it was kind of like a Spanish version of it. Oh my gosh.
They loved it. Of course they
all
did.
Okay, the person who ran the lodge, she had a backup meal made because they were afraid it wasn't going to be good.
Smart, though.
I made 16 enchiladas for 6 people, and they ate the whole pan of them. They all started with a little taste, and they ate the whole pan. They were so good. We're going to have that linked on Raised in Wisco's page. You can see that recipe, and then you can check it out on the provider page as well. And we're going to talk about that recipe also coming up. This is a show. I know we're not going to get to half of the stuff.
My
weekly Wisco, I came back, hunted turkeys, and then Saturday, we had a game feast at our house. Danielle, you were there. We had axis deer ribs.
Oh yes. Megan made those. And they were telling her not to keep the ribs, were they not?
Yes.
And they were telling her not to keep the ribs. She put it on the Traeger that you have, and it was the best. All of us are holding a rib and just gnawing on the bone.
Nice.
And it was like
so
Fred
delicious.
Flintstone style. They were huge.
Really?
Which is the normal way I eat food. So,
yes.
But.
Don't we all?
And then Alex, Alexander Lauren, made the most amazing shrimp.
I hate
with this
shrimp.
Unbelievable tartar sauce. They tasted like little tender morsels of breaded lobster. They were incredible.
Really?
And she made this Cajun tartar sauce.
Oh, so
that was
good.
Phenomenal. And then Ellie Mae Smoller, she made homemade Torpedo tortillas. We were calling them torpedoes because they were like a hybrid. Jess, I saw you laugh back there. Yeah. That's, you know, that's one of my goals, to get you to laugh. That's one of my goals on the show.
Funny. Well, I appreciate
it. I want laughing from the fishbowl back there. So she made these homemade, handmade torpedoes, and I made alligator gyros on the grill.
No.
Homemade tzatziki?
Yes, tzatziki sauce. So Ellie Lawton Smoller, that's her actual name, we call her Ellie Mae Smoller on the show, but she made tres leches cake, which is literally like my favorite ever in the world.
That was the first time for me.
And she made this lemon custard-esque pie.
And I took half of it home. I'm like, nobody's going to miss this. Everyone's, where did it go?
I wondered where the hell that went.
In my fridge.
Nice. Well, I'm going to tell you.
I was being greedy.
I have been eating those torpedoes every day since. I made them with goose Michoacan styles. Oh, my gosh. So, and Megan, her... The ribs were amazing. The desserts were amazing. Mm-hmm. Alex's shrimp was unbelievable. It was like a feast like no other.
That's awesome.
I am never happier than when I'm eating wild game made deliciously.
Right.
I found out that I really love fennel.
I found out that Speckle Belly is
fennel. You did. That's right. Let's do this.
Yeah, let's do his. We're going to do Mike's Raised in Wisco, which took place in North Dakota. So
Wisco.
You just got back from hunting waterfowl. We got 1 minute. Unbelievable. We don't have enough time in the show. You just got back from North Dakota. Tell me about Speck. I told you it was amazing.
Yeah, so after last year or the year before, Joel did say it was like one of the best wild game options there are. And we literally did half Coke and half Italian, marinated it, threw it on the grill. That was it. Medium rare.
Speckle Belly.
It's better than beef.
I'm not kidding.
Better than beef tenderloin.
Oh, whoa. Okay. You heard it here.
You're not
going
to believe it. You get to hear Salva Monforte Jr. He is going to take us through what we were planning for on the prep of the hunt. This was before the hunt. He did not know it would be so successful. And it was. This show goes around the world, goes around Wisconsin. It's Raised in Wisco. Woo!
CBS News Brief. President Biden has, for the first time, given Ukraine permission to use U.S.-supplied long-range missiles for strikes inside Russia. The BBC's Roisin Hastings.
The decision would be a significant reversal in American policy. Ukraine's President Volodymyr Zelensky has been urging for months for these restrictions on long-range missiles to be lifted.
House Speaker Mike Johnson says controversial former Congressman Matt Gaetz is qualified to be Attorney General.
The reason that Matt Gaetz is such an exciting pick to so many people is because he will go in and reform the Department of Justice. It desperately needs it.
Johnson was on Fox. Gaetz was the subject of a House Ethics Committee investigation into allegations of sex trafficking. On CBS's Face the Nation, the senior Democrat on the House Intelligence Committee, Jim Hines, says Gaetz should not get the job.
How is it that this is what we're focusing on? Matt Gaetz is, by any standard, completely unqualified to be the Attorney General.
CBS News Brief. I'm Christopher Cruz.
Are you prepared for an emergency or disaster? Because it's not a matter of if, but when. Don't find yourself saying,
when the storm rolls in, my time to find a pet-friendly evacuation center will have run out.
The scorching heat wave will leave me powerless to cool my insulin.
I'll face a hurricane without meds. Now that's a tough pill to swallow.
Let's prepare so we all have a better story to tell. Get started at ready.gov/olderadults. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
Badgers lose to Oregon. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. College football, Wisconsin battled, but lost to number one ranked Oregon 16-13. A 19-yard gain on third down in the fourth quarter was called back when a Badgers offensive lineman was charged with a chop block. A replay later on NBC showed it was a bad call. Head coach Luke Fickell.
I guess I don't know the definition of a chop block. It usually means you got to leave your feet in order to hit somebody low. But when you hit them in the waist, it doesn't seem to be a chop block. But nonetheless, you know, you've got to find ways to overcome things, and we weren't able to do that tonight.
The Badgers have now lost three in a row. NBA, the Bucks losing to the Hornets, 115-114. Giannis Antetokounmpo called for a foul in the final seconds, and after the game, the referees admitting there was no contact. Giannis asked for his reaction.
You know, I've been in the league, this is my 12th year. Rule number one, don't give away your money. And rule number two, don't forget rule number one. So I'm not going to comment on that.
The Bucks host the Rockets tomorrow night with sports on Mike Clemens.
Enjoying this local program?
Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
Central Wisconsin weather. I'm Corey Hartman. For tonight, clear skies, lows around 30. Chance of showers for Monday, a high near 53. Showers and windy for Monday night, a low of 43. Breezy on Tuesday with rain, a high of 57. For Wednesday, some rain and snow showers possible, 40.
It's 51 at our studios.
The Dom Salvia Show.
State Senator-elect Jody Habish-Sinikin. What's the best way, do you think, it is to approach a difference in not just opinion, but in what we perceive as facts with those that may not be aware or don't agree with it?
First, having a conversation. Try to get an understanding of what is really bothering them and try to offer solutions at the state level or at the local level where there can be progress.
The Dom Salvia Show. Weekdays from 4 till 6 on the Civic Media Radio Network and on the Civic Media app. The Todd Alba Show.
Brady joining us live via phone.
I tell the guys before every game, and honestly try to do it before every practice, challenge is going to come. This team is not just going to show up and allow us to walk all over them and win. Really what matters is how are we going to respond to that. Man, if you can adapt and use it as a learning opportunity, it's going to set you up to go accomplish darn near anything you want to.
I think there are a lot of people that need to hear that message today.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Lena Bloom for the Bail Project.
Imagine you're stuck in a jail cell and you can't afford bail and someone offers you a way out. Just plead guilty and you can go home and kiss your kids goodnight. What do you do? What thousands have. You plead guilty whether you are or not. Cash bail makes poverty a crime. That's why the Bail Project helps those who can't afford it while fighting to end cash bail. Because freedom should be free.
Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Missed your favorite show live on air? It's easy to find what you enjoy wherever you listen to podcasts, including Spotify, Apple, and Google Podcasts. And we're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. Fear you may be missing out? We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. Enjoy listening live or catch up by finding the podcast at civicmedia.us or wherever you enjoy listening to your podcasts.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
This is the most perfect music for this segment because this segment is one where we get to listen to somebody talk from Spain. Salva and Joel were talking about their hunt, and I'm absolutely pumped to hear about this because hearing it from someone else's point of view is even better, especially when they're living that experience in Spain. So listen to this interview with Salva, and we will talk to you when we're done.
What is up, everybody? You're listening to Raised in Wisco, Spain edition. We are with Salva Monforte in Mosquera, Spain. Try saying that three times real fast. We are hunting ibex tomorrow. I tell you, I'm here. I couldn't have done this trip. It would not be the same if it were not for my friend John Fenn. John, we have talked about hunting together, and we have hunted together for years. I mean, you talk about hunting a lot. You've got a collection of whitetail on your walls that's absolutely incredible. We were at the Safari Club International Banquet a year and a half ago, and you said, man, that sounds exciting. You've never been out of the United States, and here you are with me in Spain. I need to know, what does that feel like?
It feels like, oh boy, it's quite the adventure. Having a great time and a lot of new wines and cheeses and foods. And I'm here for the experience and the scenery and see what happens tomorrow.
Man, one of the things that a lot of people don't realize when they travel out of the United States is that when you go to a foreign country, particularly in Europe, we were talking about this, everything is small. Like the bathrooms are small. Everywhere you go is small. And we had a record, I did the show, last week's show, talking about literally getting stuck in the bathroom because everything's tiny. There's kind of this appreciation here. We I want to talk, though, for a moment, because this got literally scary for us. We were here when they had Valencia, Spain, had rainfall that they haven't had for decades. And in Valencia, Spain, 150 people died in the floodwaters. They were caught off guard, banks overflowed, and people died. And I just want to make sure that we understand the sanctity of the potential danger in situations like that, and give a moment to appreciate the rescue workers and to mourn for the dead who were there. It was an incredibly horrifying, sad experience. And we were only about 50 kilometers, which is about 35 miles away from Valencia, and we had torrential rains. There was a point that John and I were ordered by the federal government to remain in the home that we were renting, the Airbnb, and to stay on the second and third floor because they did not know if the banks on the river in Vinaros, where we were staying, were literally going to give way, and Vinaros would have flooded, and they were trying desperately to avoid a situation similar to Valencia. John and I went out. We bought water. We bought dried food. We bought Iberico pork, some dried meats that could last for a while. And I have to tell you, it was downright scary. I mean, I think probably I was a little more worried about it than John. But what were you thinking at that point? I mean, there was a point at which the government was ordering us to stay in the rooms, and the people all got off the streets, everything closed, because they did not know if the banks were going to hold the water coming down from the mountains, and it would have been another scene like Valencia.
I don't know. There were it was definitely a full prepping moment there for a minute, and I think we spent all of our last euros on food, water, cheese, meat, whatever we could eat in case we got locked up in the hotel. But it was definitely the real deal. Didn't know what to expect. We made it out of there, luckily, and now we're up in the mountains at about 5,000 feet, so I feel much safer up here. Tomorrow's a big day. We're going to head out hunting and put those floods behind us and see what happens.
Yes, when we were kind of trapped there, and even our outfitter, Natalia, who's been working with us for Selva Monforte hunts in Mosquerella, Spain, she's been fantastic, and we were worried for just a minute if we could even get somebody to come pick us up. And we had to think for a little while, would there be a difficulty even getting to the airport if we had to, when we have to get out at the end of the trip? But fortunately, God willing, the dam did not break and the edges of the river held. So we were able to make our way into the mountains. And now we are in the mountains of Spain, and we're about to hunt ibex tomorrow. And I'm really lucky here. The person who speaks English the best at Selva Monforte is Selva's son, Selva Junior. Selva, you are working now full time with your dad here. And you may not think so, but your English is fantastic, probably, compared to my Spanish. How do you enjoy doing this for a living?
Hi, everyone. I'm Selva Junior. And well, I love to hunt, to stay with my dad. He's telling me how to know how to run a business like that, a hunting business. We've been hunting, my dad has been hunting like 30 years from now. I just started helping him. I just finished my studies, and now I'm with him full time, helping, enjoying hunting, and enjoying stay with all the clients that they came.
Yes. Now, that young man right there was worried about doing the interview because he didn't know if his English was good enough. And that just should show you how awesome this kid is. Not only does he speak English, he speaks Spanish, and he is becoming a world expert on hunting the Beseti ibex. The region we're in has got essentially Beseti ibex, roe deer, and there are also some wild boars around. But what a dream to work with your dad, one of the most experienced hunters in all of Spain, and to be able to learn from him and to take his cues. Is there really anything better than when you are out on the side of the mountain hunting ibex?
Well, I mean, for me, I think it's one of the best things that you can do. I mean, go to the mountains, enjoying there, seeing the ibex, glassing, going to them. I mean, it's like a... How do I say it?
A beautiful scene.
Yeah. I mean, and for us, it's like a
Finding the special healthcare resources families need just got easier. Wisconsin Wayfinder, Children's Resource Network, helps kids with delays, disabilities, special healthcare needs, and mental health conditions. Call toll-free 877-947-2929. Ask questions. Get answers. Connect today toll-free 877-947-2929. Sponsored by the Wisconsin Department of Health Services.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us. This is locally grown radio. WFHR 1320 AM. W248DE Wisconsin Rapids. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Christopher Cruz. In a major policy shift, President Biden will let Ukraine use U.S.-supplied long-range missiles to strike deep inside Russia. CBS News military consultant Jeff McCausland said this could make a big difference in the Russian